He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tarheel.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Thursday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for The Triad, where it's about time we start talking about the Carolina Panthers schedule. There was news on that front today. Not this fall, but in 2024, the Panthers will be meeting the Kansas City Chiefs in Germany. Boy, is that going to be a wild Oktoberfest, depending on when that game is scheduled. Don't look now, but 1 week from tonight, the NFL is expected to drop its schedule in full for all 32 teams. And if you're the Carolina Panthers, and if you're a fan of the Panthers, you should expect this season to be the first time in 5 years that they get multiple primetime games. If you get multiple primetime games, that means TV networks, the NFL, they believe you have a product that the entire nation should see, that people are going to have interest in watching. You should expect multiple primetime games because that's how appealing Bryce Young is. That's what happens when you take a quarterback with the number one overall pick. He's the kind of star who, when he does a national TV morning show, it's Good Morning America. It's not Get Up. That's the difference. The entire country, sports fans, non-sports fans, they watch GMA. Sports fans watch Get Up. That's the difference. He's transcendent. He's a star. He can be a household name even if you're not a hardcore sports fan. The casual sports fans will know who Bryce Young is. The Panthers, looking at the schedule, they're expected to play. This is interesting. They are going to play the four other teams that took a quarterback in the first three rounds of the draft. They'll play the Texans. They'll play the Colts. They'll play the Detroit Lions, who took Hendon Hooker. They'll play the Tennessee Titans, who took Will Levis. That doesn't mean they play all those rookies head-to-head, but obviously that matchup with C.J. Stroud, you got the first two quarterbacks taken off the board, 1 and 2, going head-to-head. That's going to have some appeal. Folks are going to want to watch that. That has Thursday Night Football written all over it. Texans, Panthers in Charlotte. The game that's most appealing on the schedule, though, is the game in Chicago. We know the opponents. We just don't know when the games are going to be scheduled. That's what we're going to learn in a week. The first game I have circled, Panthers at the Bears. Think of all the storylines. It's going to be the DJ Moore revenge game. They also have former Panthers Deontay Foreman and Phillip Walker on the roster. PJ Walker. Don't know why I just called him Phillip. Houston Roughnecks for life. Plus, Justin Fields is going to be playing the quarterback that the Bears could have had if they kept the pick. Justin Fields, for the first time, is going to be playing the team that passed on him with the number 8 pick just a few years ago. That game in Chicago has enough storylines that you could see that being on Sunday Night Football. You could see Troy Aikman and Joe Buck calling it on Monday Night Football. And if none of those options succeed, the Dallas Cowboys are coming to Charlotte. That's enough of a possibility for a primetime game alone. Just the fact that it's the Cowboys. When it's the Cowboys, odds are it's going to get a prime slot. 4:30 Sunday afternoon, Thursday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. That's how the Sunday Night theme goes. Or do you think of Carrie Underwood when you think of the theme first? Do you think of the Football Night in America theme, or do you think of...
Sending out the ball on NBC.
I think of the actual theme, weirdly enough.
Good for you.
Carrie's great, though.
Yeah, she is. Green Bay is playing in Charlotte, too, but no Aaron Rodgers. This is probably the most interesting thing about the Panthers' opponents. They play on the road, WD, at all three of the Florida teams. So they go to Florida. Tampa.
Florida.
Jacksonville.
Florida.
And Miami.
Florida.
Go to all three of those. So expect primetime games, multiple primetime games for the Panthers, something that hasn't happened since 2018. On Twitter, at WSJS Radio, if you want in. That's where you can tweet us. That's where we're streaming video, in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton is the executive producer of this show, who watched The Natural for the first time last night. He will tell us what he thought a little bit later on. And WD, it's May the 4th. Happy Star Wars Day to everyone that celebrates. For those who are not watching our video stream right now, who are you wearing, first off?
So I've got my big my Mandalorian and Baby Yoda shirt.
Uh-huh.
Grogu, if you want his actual name.
Thank you.
That's what I'm wearing.
And behind you, there have been folks in the chat, emailers, tweeters saying, well, Josh has the MJ poster and
yep,
has a jersey behind it. Why doesn't WD have anything behind it? What is behind you now?
So what I have here, and actually this was a long time coming. I've been planning this for a while. It just so happens to be on Star Wars Day. It's a couple of Star Wars posters for like Star Wars trading cards that like stores would put up. So they'll say like on sale now. So I've got that behind me here.
Check that out.
Yeah.
On all of our different various streaming platforms.
Yep.
And make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah. Five people in particular. Could you subscribe today? Thanks.
Yeah. It's going to happen, the overalls.
That's going to happen.
I undersold our audience.
Yep.
And I'm going to be punished for that, rightfully so. Getting to basketball, we said going into this series, Lakers, Warriors, that this was going to be the most highly anticipated second-round series in NBA history. That is not overstatement. And now we're seeing the NBA and television executives have taken notice, because Game 2 of this second-round series is now getting the NBA Finals treatment tonight. It's a 9 o'clock tip, just like you see with the NBA Finals. There are no other games happening tonight other than Warriors-Lakers, obviously, just like the NBA Finals. And you should expect a massive NBA Finals-like ratings number tonight, too, because this is what dropped in the morning. 7.4 million people watched Game 1 on Turner. That is the most watched second-round game in the history of cable. And there were other, that game didn't tip off till 10 o'clock, 10:15 at night. Now, it's going to start at 9 o'clock, a little bit earlier. LeBron, Steph, Thursday night, Thursday. Oh, it's going to be a massive, massive number. So what are we going to watch? The Warriors have too much pride to think that they're not going to win tonight. The Warriors will figure out a way to win on their home floor, because you can't fake urgency. Golden State has it tonight. The Lakers, they already achieved their goal. Anthony Davis said, oh, we knew we had to take one of two out in San Francisco. They did that. Golden State is an amazing home team. They'll get it done at home. And two of the three core players that Golden State's had during this entire run, they didn't play that well in Game 1. If I've learned anything about great players, especially if you're playing at home, you don't see them play poorly back-to-back games. Draymond Green and Steph Curry will be a lot better. Steph was 10 of 14, or make it 10 of 24, with five turnovers in Game 1. Draymond only had 6 points. And he never, ever stopped AD. Anthony Davis is the key in this series. So if AD goes for 30 and 23 again, maybe we are talking about the Lakers being up 2 games to 0. The problem with that is Anthony Davis is as inconsistent as we've seen a superstar be over the last couple of years. Take the last 3 times prior to this week that he scored 30 in a game. The next game that's followed that, very subpar. I think twice he scored like 12 and 15 points in the games that followed 30-point outings. So if we've learned anything about AD, he can't be consistently great like he was the other night. The Warriors are great at home. They're going to have urgency. It's going to be a fantastic ratings number that they draw. I don't know if it's going to be a fantastic game. I think Golden State wins it, and it wouldn't surprise me if they do so handedly. Longtime listeners of the show are going to be very excited about this. See, we've been on the air for about 5 years, and there's a bit that we started this show with that we haven't done in about a couple of years. Haven't done it. But since it's Star Wars Day, we're going to introduce the WD, who has no idea about the history of this segment. It's our top 10 list, an OG segment. My top 10 Star Wars sports names are next on The Drive. Oh yeah, did I mention today was a Dash Day? Today and tomorrow, your chance to see the Winston-Salem Dash face the Greensboro Grasshoppers. First caller gets a couple of tickets right now. We'll give away another pair later on in the show. We've also got a pair of Carolina Thunderbirds tickets that we'll be giving away. The phone number is 336-777-1600 if you want to make your way out to Truist Stadium. This is for Saturday's game. So not for tonight, not for Friday, but for Saturday's game if you'd like to go see the Dash in Winston-Salem. While we're thinking about baseball, before we get to the top 10 list, reviving a segment we haven't done for a couple of years now, the big story out of baseball is not out of the majors, but in college, where Alabama baseball coach Brad Bohannon was fired today, 5 days after there was this suspicious wagering that surrounded the Crimson Tide's game against LSU. Apparently, they had a starter that was going to go that was suspiciously benched in favor of a guy who hadn't pitched all year right at the last second. Alabama lost a game. And this is swirled during the week. I knew it was serious when Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, put out a statement saying that this is something that we're going to take very seriously. That was a couple of days ago. And now the school's saying they'll have no further comment on an ongoing review of what happened, but seen enough to fire the Alabama coach. Now, there are two ways to view this story. One, and really it's this story with the Calvin Ridley story, with the stuff that happened with the Detroit Lions a couple weeks ago, the frequency hearing about stories like this. The first way you can view it is, it's happening because sports betting has become more commonplace in more places. And when that happens, it's more popular. When it's more popular, it encourages athletes to get involved, coaches to participate, even knowing they're not supposed to. We're not going to get caught given how many people do it. Now everybody's doing it. Who's really going to care? That's the first way to look at it. The second way you can view it, this kind of stuff's always been happening, but now that we're seeing more regulatory infrastructure in more states to flag suspicious behavior, we're just seeing more people get caught. Perhaps both those things could be true, but really, those are the two schools of thought when you see these types of stories. You can arrive wherever you would like on that. Now let's get to the top 10 list. WD, this used to be, before Weekly Positivity, this used to be the polarizing segment. This used to be the thing. People either loved the top 10 list or hated the top 10 list. There's this wonky music that I think on the first week of the show, we had a salesperson named Heidi. Heidi, if you're listening, love you. Hope you're doing well. She described it as this bougie music that is hard for her to listen to. And then we just rattle off 10 things. It's a top 10 list. Really, we're stealing from David Letterman in a sense, but we haven't done it in a couple of years. OG listeners of the show know what's up. It's because of Star Wars Day, my top 10 Star Wars sports names. Oh, yeah! Woo! Top 10 Star Wars sports names. You excited, WD?
I'm ready to go.
Number 10, my number 10 Star Wars sports name, Hannah Stormtrooper. Hannah Stormtrooper. Number 9, ARG2D2.
Fitting.
Is that an ARG2D2 sitting right next to the phones here?
It is. It has a little remote, so it goes up and back.
Prove it.
Let's see here.
Let me see if you can make that happen very quickly. You have a remote control. How much did this thing cost?
I don't know. Our morning producer, Gregory, bought it. Here you go.
Look at this thing. Oh, it moves. It moves. It moves.
Oh, I love it.
My number 8 Star Wars sports name, Big League Chewbacca.
Death Star.
When you played baseball, were you a Big League Chewbacca guy?
A sour apple, to be precise.
Over Double Bubble. You were more Big League Chewbacca over Double Bubble. I remember sitting at college baseball games. We get so bored that it was a game to see how many pieces of Double Bubble you could put in your mouth.
I love it.
And
big wad.
I think we ended up at 9, 10, or 11 in that range.
Not bad.
Double Bubbles. Number 7. My number 7 Star Wars sports name. Kobe 1 Kenobi. Number 6. My number 6 Star Wars sports name. Death Star Latulale. Haven't heard from. Is Death Star Latulale still in the league? He play for the Bills anymore?
I'm not sure.
Do you remember Death Star Latulale?
Well, I was thinking about DJ Uyunglele when you said that.
No, I mean,
because of the Lalele.
The Panthers, I think it was the 2013 draft, took Death Star Star Latulale number. He was a first round pick by the Panthers.
I don't know if he's still in the league or not. I don't know.
Double check that for me real quick. I'd like to know Death Star Latulale's whereabouts. Number 5. My number 5 Star Wars sports name. Brady Yoda. Did you stay up till about midnight, 2-3 in the morning to watch the latest on The Mandalorian? Or was it... Oh, wait. You said you were going to go to the movies.
Yeah, I didn't end up doing it.
So WD, it hurts.
I was tired.
I'm gonna watch a movie.
Well, because I had to watch The Natural.
I'm gonna go watch Rounders. I'm gonna go watch Heat, even if you don't ask me to. I'm gonna do this, and you never do. Never. Even when it's Star Wars, you flake.
Listen, I was really mad at myself about this, but I was hungry. I was tired. I still needed to watch The Natural. Had other things to do.
What do you have on Death Star Latulale?
It looks like he's still in the league. I think he's...
Good for him.
Yeah, he's still with the Bills. Oh, no, he's a free agent.
Oh, well. Hopefully somebody picks him up. 10 years, not a bad run. Oh, the Orioles just gave up a home run. Great.
Good.
They're still up 8-5, though, on the Royals. A little bit distracted. Number 4! My number 4 Star Wars sports name. The Buffalo Sabres.
Hello there.
I was thinking about the Buffalo Sabres last night because Lindy Ruff is the head coach of the New Jersey Devils. And the last time he coached a playoff game at PNC Arena before last night was Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals where the Hurricanes beat the Sabres. Some guy named Rob Brindamour scored the game-winning goal in that Game 7 to send the Hurricanes to the Stanley Cup. Number 3, my number 3 Star Wars sports name, CP3PO.
Do it.
That one's deep cut. You'll have to ask Joe Ovius about that one.
Do it.
You know, you know.
CP3PO. Number 2. My number 2 Star Wars sports name. Luke May, the Force be with you.
Oh.
And number 1. The number 1 Star Wars sports name of all. Count Dooku.
I am the father.
Nice.
It's been the top 10 Star Wars sports names. Bringing back an old segment.
You know, I have been around for that segment one time.
When did we do that?
When you surprised BDOT with it after your wedding. Remember? Your top 10 wedding things or whatever.
Oh.
But that was it.
Specialty. Comes out on special occasions now.
That's right.
Star Wars Day. Is one of those occasions, apparently. Then we've got Horse or Rock Band tomorrow.
That's right.
Buckle in for that, Buckaroos. That should be a lot of fun. Another thing that we do on an annual basis surrounding the Kentucky Derby. Make sure, where are we at, YouTube subscribers, right now? See, about a month and a half ago, we started putting up videos regularly, and we got the 200 on Tuesday. Like, just 200. So I thought, no way we can get the 300 by Friday. I'll just mention on air. I'll wear overalls for a week if we get the 300 subscribers by the end of Friday's show. Where are we at right now?
We're at 295. It has been incredible.
Right. So perhaps with a day to spare, we could already be at that figure. So I'm already trying to figure out logistics to get the overalls here in the studio.
I heard you on the phone.
It's not fun.
I think it's great.
I don't enjoy that very much. But if we do that by the end of the show today, that would be fantastic and also terrible. Search The Drive with Josh Graham on YouTube and be sure to subscribe.
Your attention, please. It's showtime.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
It's going to be a big sports weekend for us on The Drive. Tomorrow, WD and I will be at Game 2 of the Canes series in Raleigh against the New Jersey Devils. Then on Saturday, our entire WSJS team going to be riding out to the Queen City as Charlotte FC is in action at Bank of America Stadium. If you can't get inside the bank, you can listen to our next guest call the game on WSJS. Of course, it's Will Pelagic, voice of Charlotte FC, popping in for his weekly visit. Willie P., between the soccer and the Wells Fargo being in town, how crazy do you expect Charlotte to be this weekend?
It's a poppin' weekend. And I really feel like this is one of the best weekends we have here in the summer. One of the best weekends that doesn't involve a Panther game, I would say, even over the course of the season, because you do have Wells Fargo going on during the day. You might be having to tangle with a little bit of rain on Saturday early. So that could be something that maybe foils plans for folks who are trying to get out and possibly do both. But at least from the latest forecast I've looked at, it looks like we're going to be okay for the game. Might have some rain before, maybe some after, but it looks like the time that's around the contest, at least as the forecast sits right now, it should be okay. But as long as they're able to get all 72 holes in there this weekend, it should be a lot of fun. And I was already out there yesterday. They always do a fantastic job. Johnny Harris, Gary Soba, and the folks over there at Quail Hollow. Very, very much a great opportunity to see some of the best in the world. I think 18 of the top 20 and 23 of the top 25 players in the PGA are here this weekend for that event. So it's a lot of fun.
I didn't even know rain might be in the forecast. I'm unafraid of that, given it's in a city. And especially when last weekend, I'm wearing my Avett Brothers hoodie right now. For those who aren't watching on YouTube, I was at Merlefest last weekend. And I'll tell you what, camping out at a music festival when it is raining,
that hits different. That hits different. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, you guys won't have to contend with the rain because you'll be living the sweet life.
That's right. Sweet life with WD and Josh. We're going to be enjoying that on Saturday.
Now, I will give you a pro tip. Around halftime, they're going to come around with a very scrumptious dessert cart. Leave room at halftime for the dessert cart.
What's on the dessert cart?
They got all kinds. They got cookies, brownies, cakes, and things. It's good stuff.
Love that. That's a great pro tip from Will Pelagic. This might be an unpopular opinion today about the Panthers-Germany game that we learned about for 2024, but I don't like it. I don't like the fact they're playing the Chiefs in Germany, not because it's overseas, but the fact it was supposed to be Pat Mahomes' first visit to Charlotte, and now the Chiefs, you know, their next trip, the way that the NFL schedule works, is set for 2032. That's the next time they're going to be in Charlotte, which means there's a chance, unless Pat Mahomes is playing for someone else, that Pat Mahomes might never play in the state of North Carolina in his entire career unless he plays 15-plus years. Given the way the schedule is constructed, Will, shouldn't these overseas games exclusively be either division games or at worst conference matchups?
I think it should be, honestly, and I'll give you a similar type of feeling. This was not necessarily on the same vein of like wanting to see Patrick Mahomes, but a buddy of mine who was, I think, an executive down in Atlanta, had never, since he'd been down there, seen his beloved New York Jets play the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta. And it just so happened that last year was the first year they were scheduled to do so. Well, guess where that game ended up getting played? In London. So he's sitting there. He's like, he's not going to get a chance to go to London. So I think from that aspect, there are similar situations. I think it's, you know, you're darned if you do, darned if you don't. I always think that maybe having it as a division game makes it a little easier because, like you said, it prevents those opportunities like Patrick Mahomes not coming to play in Carolina. But
because
then
just think about that for a second. The league is positioning him as being the guy, the biggest star in the league, and he might never get to play in one of the stadiums playing a decade plus for the team. Either fix the schedule that they play more often or fix this piece of it.
But I also think this is a situation where, you know, they're trying to use that strategic partnership with Germany, and they also want to send one of the best players in the world and showcase him on a worldwide scale. This is Roger Goodell trying to say, you know what, we want to make sure that we further our game in Germany. I hate that the Panthers are somewhat of a, I don't want to say sacrificial lamb, but that in that fashion, but at the same time, there could have been a better matchup, I think, for the Panthers in that way, just to make that happen. But we'll see what happens if they end up, you know, if that ends up coming to fruition 100% for sure coming up here in 2 years.
Will Pelagic, voice of Charlotte FC, with us. Let's close where we started, soccer. We're 10 games in. Charlotte's won twice and has 9 points. I know since baseball's a marathon, you kind of get laughed at if you're talking about the standings at this time of the year a month in. We're a couple months into the MLS season. At what point of the MLS season is it fair to start peeking at where you might stand across the league?
I always look at the halfway point of the season because that's 17 games. By that point, you will have at least usually played every team or almost every team in your conference at that point. You play everybody in your conference twice, and then the teams outside of your conference you play 8 times. So from that aspect, you're looking at a scenario where Charlotte FC, I think, won't get its first return game until next week when they play Atlanta. They'll have a couple more coming up here in the next couple of weeks and months. But I always like to say that the halfway point is when I actually start looking at this and saying, okay, where is the conceivable best finishing spot for Charlotte FC? When you start scoreboard watching, maybe it's a little bit later on. There will be a natural break in the season this year for the first time in that in the middle of July when they break for the League's Cup. That almost will be like kind of a course beacon that will basically take that first 2/3 of the season and split it up with what should be the stretch drive of the season. So from that aspect, that might also be a particular grid point because that comes, again, right around the couple weeks after 4th of July. So I think we'll know by that point whether or not Charlotte FC is ticketed for a chance to try probably go for a playoff hope. But like you said, it is probably too early. But I also feel like, again, the concerns are there for a lot of people, especially when you think about the way last week went. They had a chance with a victory or any kind of point last week to get themselves closer in towards potential playoff spot, but a loss to DC and they're back in the 14th. So it just shows you how unforgiving this league is, but also forgiving at the same aspect because 3 points this weekend could put them back in the playoffs. So there's a lot of fluctuation going with the way the table has played out for Charlotte FC this season.
Been to one Charlotte FC match, 1-0 in those matches. We'll see what happens.
We'll ride that. Which match was it last year?
That was in May of last year. I forget who the opponent was off the top of my head. But
Was it Cincinnati? Yeah, there you go.
Cincinnati. That's who they played.
It was a big goal from Svidersky in that contest.
Svidersky. That's right. All right, WD, get ready. We've got, you know, snack cart, dessert cart that we're going to be keeping tabs on. You've got all your Star Wars stuff. We're going to be excited. WD and I will be riding out together to Charlotte. The rest of our team will be there too. Will Pelagic, thanks for your visits each and every week. Enjoy the golf, and we'll see you Saturday night.
Also, tell WD to keep his lightsaber at home. There is a clear bag policy at Bank of America Stadium.
Oh, he's got one. He's got a lightsaber.
I didn't even bring this.
It's a green
Somebody
one.
Else put this in there. Yeah.
What Jedi has a green lightsaber?
Luke Skywalker, of course.
Oh.
And Yoda.
Oh,
don't get me
that's
started.
That's right. Oh, yeah, we just got him started. Thanks, Willie P.
Thank you, guys.
336-777-1600. First to call in gets tickets to our Saturday Carolina Hurricanes or Carolina Thunderbirds game right here in the Triad. They're trying to win a trophy. It is a best of five series, and the first two are at home. So if you want to go out to the annex, the first to call in gets those tickets at 336-777-1600. The Carolina Hurricanes are on the mind because tomorrow we'll be out at PNC Arena for game two against the New Jersey Devils. I'm emotionally invested in Carolina Hurricanes hockey. I am also emotionally invested in my Baltimore Orioles,
who are losing.
And WD spoiled the lead here, just like the Orioles have, oddly enough. Because when the radio show started today, my beloved Orioles were up 8-1. And morale, it was good here in Studio B. Then, as we're talking to Will Pelagic, I hadn't given baseball a second thought. We're wrapping up that interview. I look down at my iPad screen. It's 8-6. And then it becomes 8-7. And the Orioles get out of a jam with the bases loaded with a strikeout. They got out of the sixth. At the end of the seventh inning, Kansas City leads Baltimore 9-8. The O's were up 8-1, and now they trail 9-8. Morale has shifted inside Studio B. Now, while we're talking about baseball, it's time for us to talk about perhaps the most iconic baseball movie ever. Some would say that it is. It's nearly 40 years old. Came out in 1984. The start of this movie was set in 1923, so I guess we can say it kind of is a 100-year anniversary of sorts. Of course, we're talking about the great Robert Redford movie, The Natural. It's time for At the Movies with the WD.
Unless you're talking about Star Wars,
Obi-Wan has taught you well.
Movies aren't exactly Will's thing.
I don't get it.
You uncultured swine!
But that's about to change because Josh can't stand it anymore. This is At the Movies with Will Dalton.
WD, a short while ago, put out his six Star Wars original trilogy ranked. He ranked the six movies, and he put the original Star Wars in the 70s last.
I love
out
them
of
all.
The six.
I just, that's the one I'd, if I had to rank them.
Don't say you love them all.
I do love them all.
That's fine if you love them all, but love that one the least, which.
Yeah. It's close.
Is still.
It's close.
Well, it's not close enough to the top. That's the problem. Which he's getting dumped on, rightfully so. So I'm worried about what he might think about The Natural. It seems like he does like this movie, though, based on talking to him before the show. How much did you like The Natural?
Well, I really liked it really from the open, just because it did hit home for me, because thinking about all the time I spent with my dad, you know, practicing and out at the field. So I liked it from the jump. Also, I found it really interesting that it was set in the 20s. At least I think it was set
the
in
the beginning was the 20s. And then 16 years later, I think it's set around like pre-World War II, 1939 is when he's actually playing for the New York Knights.
Right. So just that period in general, I found really interesting, because usually when you see these sports movies, they're set in the 80s, 90s, or current day. I don't feel like we've gotten to see a baseball movie of baseball back then, other than, I guess, maybe 42.
Right. Well, that's post-World War II.
So, there you go.
It's a little bit... Yeah, there aren't many movies that are set in this period, and the beauty of period pieces, if you do it right, they are timeless. And it doesn't matter if you're watching it in 2023 or 1984, the movie could still have the same impact because it's set in 1939. It's set in a period of time that's already behind you. I think it's the end of this movie might be the best sports scene ever. It might be the best sports movie scene ever. The music playing, it's a Randy Newman score. You probably know Randy Newman as the guy who does all the music for Toy Story.
I do now.
he's the one that sings all those songs and does all those songs. But he did the famous score from The Natural, the home run off of the lights. You see off of Wilford Brimley Pop's glasses, the explosion of the lights, players coming out of the dugout, the slow motion trot around the bases. Still gives me goosebumps every time I watch it. You won't find many sports scenes that are better than that one. It's probably the most iconic sports scene of all time.
I also like the fact that he could just foul one off on command at that dude that was trying to take a picture of him when he was taking BP.
Yeah.
Several times, actually. A couple times.
He, you know, somebody made this point I was reading a few years ago that before the rules have shifted and all baseball's now starting to get back to normal mechanics, like in the analytics age, Roy Hobbs would be the perfect player. All the guy does is homer, strikeout, and walk. He's not hitting many seeing eye singles. He homers, strikeouts, or walks. Like, he is the perfect guy to have in 2020 Major League Baseball, 2015 analytics baseball. That's who Roy Hobbs is. What didn't you like about this movie?
How did he not already suspect that Iris' son wasn't his son?
He's not very bright. He also might not be a good person either.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that really makes you think that this is a nice guy. He says he loves the lady at the beginning, and then the first person he runs into on a train, he's now smitten with.
Yes.
Come on, dude. You just said you were going to marry this person. That's tough. Like, the manager's telling you that this girl's bad luck, who, by the way, just dated the guy who, for reasons still unknown, died by running into an outfield wall. Don't think that could really kill you, but then again, I don't know what's in those walls. Oh, I'm still just going to talk to this lady who's bad news, even though it is Kim Basinger, so maybe it is a little bit more understandable when you think about it that way. Maybe Robert Redford's just not a good guy. Roy Hobbs isn't a good guy.
I suspected that could be the case, too.
And he's not that bright.
No.
To understand. Like, the first question you ask, he didn't ask.
Just ask.
Ask, how old is the kid?
Yes.
And if she goes, oh, it's funny you should say that. He's 15. Huh.
15 years ago today, well.
Well, 16 years ago, you and I were in a barn.
That's like I said, why didn't you just ask?
Right.
Didn't even think to ask.
Tough. And the kid's throwing motion was tough at the end, too, in the wheat field. Just throwing that out there as well. The most obvious thing not to dislike about this movie, and once I point this out, it's going to affect anybody rewatching this movie again. Kind of like the Jerry Maguire, like, timeline at the end.
Yes.
Right. Robert Redford was 47 years old when he was Roy Hobbs. 47. When you're looking at the first 20 minutes of this movie, and it's Robert Redford who is playing the 18-year-old kid, that's a stretch. It's a stretch. Oh, we got some makeup. He's running. Okay. That makes it a whole lot more believable, right? No, not really. Maybe you should have just had a kid actor or an 18-year-old actor, and we see Robert Redford first walking into the dugout with Doc and company, or Pop and company. That probably would have been a little better. So it's hard for me to unsee that a little bit. What's the best quote from The Natural? This is not really known for quotes, but what do you got?
It didn't seem like it was. My personal favorite, you've got a gift, but it's not enough. His dad at the beginning.
Yeah, that's good. Glenn Close had probably the quote of the movie that I don't remember verbatim right now. My favorite quote from this movie was when Michael Madsen's character, the right fielder that Roy Hobbs replaced, just completely botched a fly ball in right field that gave a team a lead. And he said, I lost it in the sun. And it's the most overcast day. And Wilford Brimley looks up to the sky and says, blinding.
That's pretty good.
Rotten Tomatoes score for The Natural, 1984.
86.
88. Nice work. Speaking of nice work, two RBI single for Jorge Mateo. The Orioles are back in front, 10-9.
Oh, my God. They put you through the ringer,
man.
They do.
It's the most stressful team, exhausting team in baseball. But that's been At the Movies with the WD. Summer celebrating Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. WD's one of those. He's got a lot of Star Wars stuff in the control room. Others might be celebrating Dash Days, because today and tomorrow we'll be giving away Winston-Salem Dash tickets. 336-777-1600. The first to call in right now gets tickets to the Saturday night game at Truist Stadium. Morale is high in Studio B right now, as Darren Vaught joins the show. And it's not just because I'm always excited to see Darren. When the show began today, the Baltimore Orioles led the Kansas City Royals 8-1. At about the halfway point of the show, the Orioles trailed the Kansas City Royals 9-8. Baltimore just held on to a 13-10 win. In the last minute, they grabbed the final out. There were two runners in scoring position, so the tying run was at the plate, but Baltimore, the Birds, they are 21-10 now. If the Braves hold on here against the Miami Marlins, they will be 22-10. The O's will have a three-game set with Atlanta that starts tomorrow. Which series should I be more excited about? WD, you know who Wake Forest plays this weekend. They play Boston College in Winston-Salem. And Boston College is one of the best teams in the ACC. Wake Forest is by far the best team right now. Which series should I be more excited about, given the fact we don't see O's, Braves all that often, that series? Or should I be more excited, given where we're at in the standings, for BC and Wake Forest and Winston-Salem?
Get excited for O's, Bravos. This is, look, I mean, look, it's a matchup that doesn't happen that often. And when it does, how often has it been the case that they're one of the best teams in the AL, one of the best teams in the NL? I mean, this is a big time series. As much as I love BC, I am on the BC bandwagon in terms of their place in ACC baseball this year, having one of the best years in their program's history. Wake is far and away the best team in the conference and maybe the best team in the country besides LSU. And I think they give LSU a run for their money if they meet in a three-game series. So I would not expect that one to be as competitive as O's Braves.
The big story in college baseball today is Brad Bohannon being fired at Alabama 5 days after stuff started to swirl about a game last Friday night. You probably know the details more than I do, but apparently a Friday night starter was pulled at the last minute, and they brought in somebody that generally doesn't pitch on Fridays, and there were a lot of suspicious bets that were made that were flagged that led to Alabama baseball being taken off the boards in some states for people to bet on. The curious bets were placed at the Cincinnati Reds ballpark while the Reds were out of town. I knew it was a big deal when I saw Greg Sankey put out a statement a couple of days ago. I didn't expect so soon, though, to read a statement this morning from Greg Byrne, the Alabama AD, that Bohannon was out of a job. But we've seen these stories now, and I think we're starting to get to a point where we need to have a conversation about this. With sports betting becoming more popular at all these different places, I think we all understand that you shouldn't bet on the sport that you are a part of. We understand you need to have integrity to the game maintained. But there are also rules that prohibit players from betting on other sports. I understand it. In fact, we see that punishment, you know, being handed down, I think, in the Detroit Lions situation a couple of weeks ago. And we saw Calvin Ridley suspended for a parlay when he was injured and hurt, couldn't even play. He was suspended an entire season with the Falcons. And it seems to me, Darren, there are two ways you can view this. You could say that stories like this and how more popular they become is a direct result of sports betting becoming more familiarized, more popularized, more normalized, legalized across the country, and people wanting to be a part of it, players, coaches, because it is a popular thing. There's more familiarity, so there's more participation. Or there's a second way to look at it, that things like this have always happened. And because there's more regulation, more regulatory infrastructure in place, that it's just getting caught more often, the suspicious material. Where do you stand on this story? What's most bizarre to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think from a baseball perspective, it stands to reason that Bohannon getting the pink slip in this kind of fashion means that Alabama's got him red-handed, right? I mean, sure. Like, there's no way he was not involved in something fishy when, as you said, Friday starter was pulled in favor of a reliever that is not typically used in a situation like that. Look, you don't need insider trading to make a bet against Alabama versus number one team in the country, LSU, this year. That's the funniest thing about it, right? Is that, I mean, LSU's probably winning that game anyway. They're the number one team in the conference, tops in the country by far and away. And Alabama's not, you know, they made a regional a couple of years ago. And Bohannon, by all accounts, a young and promising coach.
We've got breaking news on the subject. Would you like me to share it with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So apparently, according to ESPN, sportsbook surveillance video, again, this would have been at the Reds ballpark, indicates that the person who placed the bets had been in communication with Bohannon at the time. So it could have been as simple as, some are thinking that Bohannon placed bets. No, it could have been as simple as Bohannon gave a better information about a pitcher, whether or not a guy was going to start due to his arm being sore or whatever, and that better used information to place high value bets.
And you're like, you mentioned the Calvin Ridley case and things like that. I think what is more of a disaster scenario for the sport and for just the circumstances in this case is not necessarily Bohannon betting on a game in which he is coaching, and it is him making decisions based on a bet, right? I mean, we're essentially throwing a game.
Right.
That's the big no-no.
And what I'm saying is, it doesn't even have to be that egregious to be a fireable offense. If it's as simple as,
sure,
you're giving information to somebody with the intent on them placing a bet because you know somebody's hurt that isn't going to be able to pitch that night. That in and of itself is enough to make it stink and to affect the integrity of it, where people could suggest the scenario that you just laid out.
Yeah. And again, I don't know that the proliferation of sports betting across the United States makes this worse or less manageable to your earlier question. I think, you know, we've seen this type of thing all over the place over many, many years. I'm thinking of who's the Boston College basketball, men's basketball player from back in the day.
Way back when, like 40 years ago. I'm glad you brought up Boston College. But I will say this, that makes me lean the latter example, that things like this have happened for such a long time, but now we have a better chance of catching people doing this because of how regulated this is across the country in a way that it wasn't even regulated 10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, look, if this happens 20 years ago, do we even know?
No chance.
Is Bohannon out of a job? Because again, I'm speculating on intent and exactly what was going on, but if we are to suspect the worst, would it be him picking a spot pretty wisely in a game against the number one team in the country, LSU, that they might have gotten walloped anyway? I don't know, right? Is that a less catchable game to try to pull something?
And it is funny, like, it was an 8-6 game. So, like, you're playing the number one team in the country and it's an 8-6 game that LSU ended up winning. It's like, all right, well, if you're really trying to throw the game, then you didn't do that great of a job. I don't think that was his intent to try and, like, fix a game or anything of that sort. I think he gave information to somebody, and that's also a big no-no for the reasons we just talked about. Let's get to unusual questions with Darren Vaught.
Last week, guys, everybody made it out that I got mad at Josh and I left the press conference. That's not right. I thought it was an unusual question, and it's okay.
It's time for Unusual Questions with Josh Graham.
Darren, I don't know if you can see this, and if you have an unusual question for us, 336-777-1600 is the phone number. I've got my Avett Brothers hoodie on. Went to go see them at Merlefest last week, and our seats, pretty much everywhere we went, we were sitting on a hill, we were sitting in a field. So you had to strategize a little bit how you go about doing that. When you go to a concert venue, whether it be like Walnut Creek or whatever they call it now in Raleigh, and there are some others in the state too that have those grassy areas where you can sit and watch a show, you're sitting at a concert in a grassy area. How are you approaching it? Are you I'm going to bring like a beach chair type of guy? Are you a blanket person? Does the screen location matter most to you? Stage location? How are you approaching it?
It's a good question. That scenario, sort of like the lawn scenario, is the ticket that you would purchase at these venues.
Always.
I am not bringing my own chair, although I respect those who do. Probably like a blanket. Depending on the scenario, I'm also kind of a wanderer. Like I like to just like get up and move around some. Depending on the specific musical act, I'll try my hand at observing it from different perspectives, from angle. You know what I mean? Like you get up close for a bit, you back away because the acoustics are going to be better in some areas, and it's just going to sound better. So I like to move around. It depends on the company I'm with, too. I can be a little all over the place.
WD?
My unusual question?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the best thing to come out of the frozen food section of the grocery store?
Wow. I have a sweet tooth. So I'd probably say, if we're going top shelf, we're going Bluebell ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to go Bluebell cookies and cream, or even just French vanilla ice cream. I think that's the best thing that you get out of there. Or you might be able to get these great break and bake cookie sets that are pretty good that you can get at a lot of grocery stores, too. I think it's got to be something on the sweet tooth end because, to be honest, I used to, when I was in college or, you know, early 20s, eat a lot of stuff from frozen food sections. Not so much anymore. I've graduated from that.
Yeah, it's tough for me to get down on, like, meals out of the frozen section. You know, vegetables is fine. You know, in the bags, you can incorporate those in meals. That's fine. So I'm gonna go sweet here too. I'm a big fan of the something like the Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookie ice cream sandwiches.
Those are great.
I don't know that you can go wrong with that.
I don't think you can.
I thought I was going to have something to add to that, but as I'm thinking about it, no, you can't go wrong with
that. Were you going sweets to WD, or were you going to go meals?
I don't really do meals like that anymore from the frozen food section.
Proud of you.
But I'm going to go against the grain here since you guys covered the sweet stuff, which is fantastic. To me, it's a tie between the Tyson Buffalo Chicken Tenders and the Red Baron pizzas.
No, Red Baron can get out of here.
I love Red Baron.
No, I'm a Red Baron.
I did like Red Baron more than some of the others pizzas wise. But I'm saying compared to the Tyson, you're right on the money with the Buffalo Chicken Tenders from Tyson. Yeah, right on the money.
I watched Food Inc. as a college student.
Don't do this.
We don't do frozen chicken.
Okay, Darren.
I don't do Tyson.
Give me your unusual question.
All right, so this is also ice cream related. How fun. Went to Washington, D.C. over the weekend.
You and B-Dot. B-Dot was part of like the correspondence dinner doing stuff because B-Dot is everywhere. But
was he really there? Okay,
yeah,
so
he was with Roy
had...
Wood Jr. and he was hanging out with Diana Ross. That's BDOT. And Nate Burleson.
Of course he was. Of course he was. So I was there, didn't even realize the correspondence dinner was going on. And I was with my girlfriend and we were walking through the district and it seemed like kind of dead. So it's even more bizarre. This is not my unusual question. It seemed even more bizarre after I learned that the correspondence dinner was that weekend. And it's just like, man, to be a big city as Washington is, it's just kind of like kind of sleepy. But anyways, as we were walking around, this was on Saturday. There are in the National Mall area, food trucks galore.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of them, specifically ice cream trucks. We had been to a few museums that day on our way back to the hotel. Said, okay, we're going to get some ice cream. No price pictured anywhere on the truck. And we asked for two waffle cones. Okay. Pretty simple. Two waffle cones.
Okay.
Vanilla ice cream. Mine was dipped in Oreos. Hers was chocolate fudge dipped. Okay. The guy's like, thanks, $20.
Oh.
Now, look, I don't mind. Whatever.
Sure.
To me, if he would have said $7 a pop, I know it adds up if you keep rounding up, but what the hell, right? What's the difference between $7 and $10? She freaks out.
Oh.
After the fact. Pays it, of course, but it was like, we just got robbed.
100%.
We just got robbed. Okay, that's the question. Do you agree $10 for an ice cream? And to be fair, it was a big ice cream.
I'm gonna go full Vincent Vega from Pulp Fiction. $10 ice cream cone. Did they put bourbon in it or something? I gotta taste $10 waffle cone. Yeah, it's way too much.
It tasted.
But you pay for it. You pay for it, and then you're like, all right, I just take it.
You just take it. It's a convenience thing.
You just take it.
They entice you with the truck. It was good ice cream, to be clear. Like, it was, you know, I don't know that there's such a thing as bad ice cream, but I guess, you know, out of a truck, you could figure out how to have bad ice cream.
Darren Vaught, you're on the lotto tonight. 11:20, is that right?
11:22. Pick three, pick four, cash five.
And
you
also,
guys know the drill. Get your
Eric Bakich, who's an ECU guy, Clemson's coach, on the pod with you talking Keith LeClair. If you don't know the Keith LeClair story, that's a pretty cool thing to listen to. ACC baseball, etc. Give that a listen. Darren Vaught, we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Sounds good. See you guys.